All right. Well, let's get started then. Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Open Practice Podcast. So I am one of the hosts, Jerry Becker. I'm an engagement lead with Red Hat Open Innovation Labs. I am also the product manager for the Open Practice Library. This is a sister podcast to that website, openpracticelibrary.com. It's a site where we within Red Hat kind of started to put a lot of the different activities and practices that we do with our teams that we consult with that help them improve how quickly they can get to delivery and just their overall delivery, product delivery process. So that is something we're going to get into a little bit more with our very first guest slash co-host. So Matt, not only do you have the honor of being the very first guest on the Open Practice Podcast, but you're also going to be co-host from here on out. So you get to play, you're like the only one that's getting to play both roles. How's that feel?
It's kind of like double duty. I almost feel like a product owner and a scrum master at the same time.
No, but that never happens.
Well, if we're doing things right with a core team concept, I think we're doing pretty good. I'm Matt Takani. I'm an Agile coach with the Open Innovation Labs based out of North America. And I have just loved the journey that the Open Practice Library has really kind of taken over the course of time. I was there from the very beginning. I've seen it grow through its teenage years where I feel like it's still there, but it feels like it's getting ready to go out to college and really kind of spread its wings into a new evolution. So I'm super excited to get this rolling. I know this has been the brainchild of many, many hours, many months of just kind of like, I want to do something and we want to share a lot of things, but we're not quite sure how. And the website's one thing, but I feel as if podcasts has really been a great medium to actually get beyond what you can read.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's so easy to get into it now. Like the barrier to entry to launching a podcast is really low, which is awesome because a lot of people can play around with that as a new way to get ideas out there and content out there, which I mean, is really all about what the Open Practice Library is in the first place. It's just kind of like open sourcing the stuff that we've done and allowing other people to contribute. And I know we'll get into that a little bit more too. But I totally agree. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while. And as I've learned more about what our users of the Open Practice Library have commented on, it's like, hey, we would love more content. And so I think that this is just one way that we've been wanting to kind of get out there and explore with. And we're finally doing it. It's been a while, but we're here. Look at us. Look at us, Matt.
I'm excited for the personal flavor that we can bring to light with these practices. I'm stoked.
The format that we've talked about is, you know, a lot of people are contributing to the Open Practice Library with different practices because it's one of those things where it's crowdsourced, right? So anybody can upload to it. And so what we've thought about doing is, well, why don't we have a person on, you know, each episode that uploaded something to the site, and we'll just dig deeper into what this particular practice is that they shared on the site. You know, have them tell a story about when they used it, how did they hear about it, what's the history of it, facilitation tips, stuff like that, just to give people a little bit like a deeper understanding of what it is and how you can use it. But before we get into that, because we'll kick that off like next episode and subsequent episodes, but the first thing I wanted to do for this pilot episode is to back up and just talk about the Open Practice Library itself. And so instead of like diving into the practices, let's talk about the history of it. And you're an OG, so you've been around for a while. One of the founding fathers of the Open Practice Library. And so thanks for coming on and being able to shed a little bit of light on that. But before we get into that, there's a practice that we like to do a lot with any of the new teams that we work with. It's kind of like an icebreaker. And so what I'd like you to do is to describe your spirit animal, not just in life, but like how you're feeling in this moment, like coming into this podcast and recording right now. Like what spirit animal are you identifying with?
You mean we're not here to talk about the fact that we're having a cold snap and the snow is about to come?
If you're thinking about talking about Frosty as your spirit animal, that doesn't count. Sorry to say.
No. So I don't know if it's so much as an animal, but the thing that comes to mind right now is Olaf from Frozen.
I wasn't far off with the Frosty then.
I'm kind of feeling a little Olaf. I always love warm hugs. I'm actually sitting in a room and I'm a little cold. And so, but I feel like I have this eternal optimism right now. I just don't know why. I'm just a happy, happy person at the moment. And I feel like I'd be able to overcome a lot of stuff with that optimism and just kind of approach life in that kind of manner right now.
You know, if you bust out into song at any point during this podcast, I think we just roll with it, you know? So I'll try to find the harmony. We'll go from there. I know we've done some karaoke together, so maybe we might have to call back to that. We'll channel that as we go. But why don't we get this thing all off the ground and running?
Well, I guess I can let it go.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah, I guess we can kind of start from the beginning. It's a story that takes us over the course of a couple of years at this point, of where we kind of started. And it really started with trying to figure out internally at Open Innovation Labs within Red Hat how to share across our team. We had a growing and budding global team, and we had a lot of knowledge that our folks were bringing in, and we weren't quite sure how to share it. We didn't want to have one-on-one meetings to introduce every new type of practice. We really kind of wanted some centralized area that we could gestate information and share things out, like XYZ practices for culture, for how do we uncover desired outcomes? How do we even deliver when we get into like implementation, because there's so many methodologies out there. There's so many different ways to tackle a problem. And as opposed to one way, we kind of wanted to be able to enable any of our engagement leads, those folks that are leading the delivery of our engagements. Here's a canvas of anything you can choose from, or other things that you just think of or have encountered in the wild. And that's how you can look to build what you wanted to actually do. And so we started internally with a couple of docs that did not go so hot. And so a couple of us got together during one of our meetups and said, hey, how about we just put this stuff on a website? And so that's what we did. It was very rough, but it was a list of practices. And the list of practices grew quite rapidly as we started to share newer ideas. And we started realizing that a structure was needed, because no longer could we just share any kind of ideas. We kind of wanted to share how to discuss and have a conversation around it. And that's where we found this Mobius loop. So Mobius Loop and the Mobius Loop community has evolved to the outcomes delivery community. And we wanted to build upon that. And so we created this infinity loop structure. So anyone that's not quite familiar with the Mobius Loop in the outcomes delivery practice, community, it really kind of like lends itself to three areas that can describe a project. And it's project flow, really. You have a discovery side, you have an options pivot, and you have a delivery side. And you navigate between the two sides of this loop with an inflection point in the middle, such that you can either go back to uncover like the next thing that you would want to do or reflect back on your discovery type activities. And then you have the delivery side. But we quickly realized that some of the power of open source is all about culture. It's all about community building. It's all about collaboration and inclusivity and, you know, to boot, open source technology. And so that doesn't fit squarely on a discovery delivery type loop. And so what we did is we said, well, there's this other section of practices that we really wanted to build upon. And that's where culture and collaboration came from and technology. Because the technology is kind of a base foundational layer that allows you to go quickly in delivering value for like software delivery teams. And then the culture and the collaboration side is how people interact with one another, and you build a trusting, long-lived delivery team. And that both of those foundational areas is really what helps stand up the loops and allows you to navigate between the two loops as efficiently as possible. So with that in mind, we also started realizing that we were on to something that we it wasn't just our team that would kind of want this knowledge, or we hypothesized that it was not just our team that wanted to have this knowledge. And so in the fall of 2017, we removed all Red Hat branding because we didn't need it, right? As an open source company and as stewards of being transparent, we just wanted to have it out there for anyone. And you stated it earlier, right? It's anybody can contribute. The small barrier was that you needed a GitHub ID. That was pretty much what you needed. And then you can contribute your idea. And that was one of the things that we really wanted to create. We wanted to expand into a truly global community. And we really wanted to focus in on just sharing practices with others, not just with each other, not just within our team.
So I agree. So, I mean, me coming in, a few months back, we didn't really have a product owner or product manager for the Open Practice Library because it was such an organic thing getting started, and it was solving a problem for us at first. And what I love about the story of how it got from, you know, its origin to where it is today is the fact that, you know, we really embrace and celebrate our open culture and in even any way that we can apply openness to anything that we're doing. And I love that there was this moment in the history of Open Practice Library where it's like, wait a second, this doesn't just have to be for us. Why don't we open up to everybody? And so now that it is a platform that's, you know, brand agnostic, it's just kind of out there for anybody to contribute to. It's more about a community. I think it's getting a lot more interest. And so we're getting a lot more questions about it. It's getting used in a lot more ways outside of just labs now, which is really cool. And I think that has kind of necessitated like, hey, I think we might be onto something here. Maybe we need to invest a little more time and attention into creating a more valuable product-like experience rather than just, you know, a website with content. Like how do we really enhance it and continuously deliver more and more value through it?
I really believe that if we want to evolve new ways of working and share across the board, like just progressing ability to produce value, that has to be out down in the open. Something that, so funny enough, it took me a little bit to realize this, but when I look at the Open Practice Library and I think about like my desire as an agile coach, as an agilist, I always want to drive towards a DevOps mindset. And that DevOps mindset, right, is looking to create highly efficient teams that are cohesive, cross-collaborating, cross-pollinating ideas, autonomous, all of those like, you know, super great buzzwords. Mm-hmm. But at the core of DevOps, right, you have the people, you have the processes that you use, and you have the technology that helps you implement all of those things. And the Mobius loop that we have here while still a framework of processes, helps you describe in a process fashion what you need to get done in a procedural manner. You have the culture and collaboration bit of the foundation, which is how you can generate people and culture, right? How does your team gel together? And then you have the technical component of the foundation, which is all of the technology that's actually necessary. So you have 3 points of the core aspects of DevOps represented inside of the Open Practice Library as well.
One of the things that I'm reminded of that I appreciate most about it as I hear you talk is the fact that the Open Practice Library is such a good way to show people how to get the value out of methodologies. Because like, if you kind of picture this, is a sketch I draw a lot of times with different customers or clients when we're doing engagements with them, is kind of like this pyramid of knowledge. And so at the bottom, you know, you move your way up as you go. And so you start at the bottom, which is just being exposed to an idea. Like maybe you've heard of Agile, you know, but you don't really know the ins and outs of it. You just heard about it and you know that it's like a popular thing. But then the next level of understanding is really knowledge about the thing. So understanding how to be able to talk about Agile, you do know the value that it can provide and why it exists. But then the next layer above that, and I think it's the biggest jump in the pyramid, is getting to application. So how do you take the knowledge about a specific methodology and how do you actually apply that day to day and hour to hour in order to get the real value out of it? And I think that is not only what I think, you know, we as Open Innovation Labs do for teams, but also through the Open Practice Library in sharing these practices, is showing people here is a time boxed activity that you can do with your product team, and it will move you from this point within the Mobius loop, like into the next level of the Mobius loop, hopefully, if you achieve your target outcomes. So it really breaks down an approach that people can take in order to find the value in a specific methodology, which is really cool. And of course, above that, you get into things like teaching, which is what we do. Above application is the teaching. You know something so well that you can teach somebody else how to use it. And then above that is kind of like thought leadership. You know, like now you're driving the future of where something is going to go. Have you found it like easy or difficult to teach the specific practices to people so that they can actually do it and apply it themselves to get the value out of it?
Through the library itself, it has been a bit of an issue of how to teach facilitation of all of these things, because it gives you that exposure and that high level kind of like knowledge. But once you spark the interest into, hey, I like the outcomes that I'm reading, and I can follow through as to why this practice is going to be beneficial for me. But what I don't quite understand yet is the small nuances of like, how would you bring this up? How would you flow this practice into another practice? But that's where you get into small nuances, to where situational awareness is very important, and experiential accounts of the practice itself is going to be necessary. And so it's usually a secondary conversation to teach and to really kind of like progress into how someone can facilitate it. This podcast actually was born partially out of that that desire to get a bit deeper into, hey, what would the next practice be? How does this practice flow into another one? Just name drop that practice.
Yep. Yeah. So here we are doing it, living the dream. Yeah. When you talk about the Open Practice Library, and I'm sure you give like some examples of what some practices are that are there. What are some of the practices that are top of your mind, or some of your favorites that are in the library?
Some of my favorites are actually those that are relatively well known when you are looking to start new teams, like gel teams together. Things like a social contract sitting inside a culture and collaboration, or a definition of done you can think of like the Andon Cord and Stop the World events, such that, you know, you're trying to build this culture to where failure is okay, to where, you know, you want this open and inclusive kind of culture. And then on like the discovery loop side of things, right? You think of like goal setting type practices, something like start at the end, or you can leverage like how might we's. Some of the practices that we like to use at Open Innovation Labs are things like event storming, or user story mapping, metrics-based process mapping, and value stream mapping. We even have used user interviews and empathy mapping from human-centered design and design thinking world in order to uncover areas of improvement and pain points for the users on specific applications. And then, you know, after we ideate across the board with all of those things, right, got to narrow it down a little bit, right? You got to diverge and you got to converge. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to narrow down what the most impactful things are, you have things like an impact effort prioritization matrix. You have value slicing that comes out of user story mapping with Jeff Patton. And you can kind of create this MVP slice. And from there, you can generate backlogs, and then you can start getting straight into delivery. When I think of delivery, I think of what everyone else thinks. I start with a base of Scrum that is the easiest to comprehend. It's time-bound, and it gives a bit more structure than other methodologies. But you can always evolve into other methodologies. Choose what is right with where the team ends up being. And that's the power of Open Practice Library. I found myself listing a jillion different practices, but you don't run all of those things. You pick the ones that are necessary for what your situation is, and that's what you do. And you can find those things at the Open Practice Library.
Right. Yeah, it's more like a toolkit that you can use. And the way that they're visualized on the loop shows you what you might be able to pull next, depending on the scenario. But like even the list that you just put together, though, it was, you can see how you can build practices like one on another in order to drive you through the loop and go from idea to delivery of that idea to measuring and to improvement, all with specific practices kind of like moving you along the way, which is really cool. And all that together helps bolster, like, you know, the collaboration and autonomous team desire that we have for the teams that we're working with as well.
Yeah. And the best way to do a lot of that stuff is to think of like, so I'm intimately familiar with the Open Practice Library and everything that it offers, which is how, like, top of my brain, I can just list this litany of practices. But if you don't have that, if it's your first time ever going to the Open Practice Library, or you haven't and you just stumbled across this podcast for whatever reason, I want you to imagine that you have like this deck of cards, and this deck of cards that you have has all the practices on it. And you can organize those deck of cards into the five categories. The five categories, like the discovery, options pivot, delivery, culture and collaboration, and technical, right? The loop, the areas of the loop, and then that foundation that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I have a project that I'm about to do, but I don't know what practices are going to give me the desired outcome that I need. Take those cards, take what you know, and plot them out on the loops and in the foundation. And if you feel like there's a lack of an ability to achieve uncovering everything that you want to do, go to the Open Practice Library and take a look at something, a new practice, take a read. It's that awareness that's going to actually give you the ability to plug that hole. And so you can actually use that to map out new projects.
This idea of a card deck is phenomenal, Matt. I feel like we should do that.
Funny that you say. I have seen these cards out in the wild. I know Open Innovation Labs and a bunch of areas inside of Red Hat have looked to create cards out of a lot of these practices. These are just playing card size. You can even go to Open Practice Library as an organization in GitHub, and there's a repo that you can go to and you can print out your own cards if you wanted. You could brand them whatever you want. Now you could brand them Acme Company Open Practice Library cards.
Very relevant reference. Good job. This Wile E. Coyote is downloading these now for free and printing them. I like that, that's another just example of being open is just, yeah, these card decks are things that anybody can go in to the repo and download and print themselves and do what they want with them. But I also like how you kind of phrase the fact that, you know, you can put these things together in an order that you think that they would build on each other. But just like we do with any of our consultations is you have to go in holding your agenda open-handed, you know, like you go in with a plan, but then once you start to read the room and find out, you know, we ran this practice, did it really achieve the target outcomes that we were going for? No, we didn't. Does that mean we revisit it? Do we need to have further conversation using that practice, or do we try something else? And a lot of times as you deliver stuff, you realize, oh man, I know that I had planned this next practice to follow this, but I really feel like that this other one would be a better fit. And being able to have something like the Open Practice Library to go to find out, you know, what might be the best option given what you're seeing, is a really cool resource that I know that, you know, both you and I have used, not only in our residencies, but workshops and stuff, but that we've heard a lot of stories from other people using as well.
Yeah. And I gotta say, last time I think that I took a look, there were like, let's say, I think it was about five, six months ago, maybe there were like 9 contributors to the Open Practice Library and only a couple hundred commits. And I looked at it like about 2 months ago, cause I was putting together like another deck, and the number of contributors had like skyrocketed to like, or I say skyrocketed because it's just enormous amount from there to like 30 and about 1,000 commits in like a couple of months. Like, I don't know who did what, but it was like as if like something just shot off like a rocket. But it's that community of contributors that actually is going to drive the site itself. It's not a company. It's not a handful of small people. It's actually building that community, and I'm just super excited to see where this ends up going.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely going to be one of the engines of growth, I think, for the site and the community itself, is the collaboration and how many people are sharing new things, and then the conversation happening around those things in order to make them even better. That list that you rattled off of the practices earlier, I think that very well could just be our podcast agenda. We could just start going through each of those. In fact, I think we have Patrick Carney lined up for the next episode to dig into event storming, which is one of the ones that you mentioned is a popular one in labs. So we'll see what he can teach us in diving deeper into that. But I wanted to thank you for taking some time to kind of kick things off on the podcast, being the very first guest, and for future episodes, being the amazing co-host I know that you're going to be. But the last question that I have for you is, if people want to get more Matt Takane in their lives, how would they do that? How can they keep up with Matt?
So you can find me on LinkedIn. It's just Matt Takane. Same with my Twitter handle. It's just Matt_Takane. So you can find me on both of those. You can also find me if you want to engage with Red Hat. So I'm part of the North America team, but I definitely spread across the board globally. So always excited for a conversation. Drop me a line on either one of those two, and I'd be happy to chat.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll plug his stuff also, because I know that, Matt, you do different kinds of thought leadership content and stuff that you put out there. So for anybody that's listening, definitely hit up Matt, follow him. It'll be a fun follow. I think that's going to wrap it up for our very first episode of the Open Practice Podcast. Thanks again, Matt. And, you know, we're getting ready to embark on this adventure together, and we'll see how it goes. We'll keep doing it until it's either not effective or we just get so old that we just don't have the laughs anymore. But I don't see that happening.
I hope we don't get frozen.
Nice. Olaf. Back to Olaf. It always comes back to Olaf with you and my kids. All right. That's going to do it. Thanks again. And tune in for the next episode when we talk with Patrick Carney about event storming. Yeah.
Event storming.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you. High fives to you for listening to this episode of the Open Practice Podcast. That was awesome of you. And you should do it more often because who doesn't like more awesome stuff in their lives? It's awesome. If you like what you heard and you want to know more, feel free to head over to openpracticelibrary.com where you can find a wealth of activities and practices that you can run with your team in order to help get you from idea to delivery. And while you're there, why not upload your own stuff too? This is all about a community. We all need to share what's in our brains so that we can all get better at creating better ideas and turning those into better solutions for people. So contribute. We need it. If you want to keep up with us, you can also hit us up and follow us on Instagram at Open Practice Library. Thanks for listening and stay open.
Testing. Can you hear me?
Can hear you. I'm just messing around.
More technical difficulties. So should we turn up the gain or down the gain?
Nobody records podcasts at 4:29 p.m. Maybe that's what it is.
That you're about to say, no one does podcasts in 4K.
I was like, we can be the first.
You're right.
Man, there's a gap in the market.